This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Tyler Donaldson and Melissa Hammer as well. Sunshine with highs in the 60s expected today. There may be a few thermometers topping out at that 70-degree mark. You can expect a gradual cool down as this week progresses. The region may see much-needed moisture tomorrow and Wednesday. A few snowflakes could be part of that system. World Weather Incorporated says rain hit center-west and center-south Brazil. Argentina was dry during the weekend with daytime highs in the 70s and 80s.
According to a poll of rural Americans by DTN, nearly 70% of the respondents support former President Donald Trump. The Pulse of Rural America poll found 19% support Vice President Kamala Harris, 9% were undecided. Regarding national issues, 43% cited the national debt and budget deficit as their biggest concern. 17% of the responses were worried about Chinese ownership of U.S. farmland. U.S. agricultural trade deficit was at the top of the list for 15%. Regarding farm policy, the DTN poll found the leading issues are regulations, extreme weather, weak farm safety net, land prices, and affordable labor. The election just 8 days away.
The new national FFA president is Thaddeus Bergschneider of Illinois. The other five members of the national officer team represent Ohio, Kentucky, California, Georgia, and Wisconsin. They were selected from 37 candidates seeking national office.
The 97th National FFA Convention wrapped up this past week. Melissa Hammer has coverage from her time at Indy.
Our coverage from the National FFA Convention is brought to you in part by CHS, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the Minnesota Farmers Union, Hefty, Associated Milk Producers Association, and the Dinner Bell Creamery. Minnesota FFA State Treasurer Cole Sundin from the Rockford FFA chapter was thrilled to be a part of the top four individuals in the nation for his supervised agricultural experience under the Landscape Management Division. I got to talk to him before it was announced that he was the proficiency winner.
Such a humbling experience. When I started out in seventh grade, I never thought I would make it to this point where I am today, being a freshman in college. And so being top four in the nation right now, and I'm going to find out in the next hour and a half what my standing is within the nation, so that's going to be super cool to see.
Sundin has expanded his SAE since beginning back in seventh grade.
So I started my supervised agricultural experience back in seventh grade when I started performing lawn maintenance tasks to my grandparents. And then soon after that, I took on some new clients where I performed some lawn maintenance tasks as well. Eventually, as I got into high school, I wanted to learn some from some professional landscapers, more about the landscape industry. So I started my work at Held Companies, which is a nursery and landscape company. And I eventually became in charge of the lawn mowing division at that company. And I just learned so much throughout my SAE.
In his role as a state officer, Sundin was kept busy throughout the duration of the national convention.
We've been helping the organization, interacting with members from Minnesota, then also meeting new connections from all over the nation, and just really giving back to this organization because we are state officers, and so we are going to be providing to our state first.
Coverage from the National FFA Convention brought to you in part by CHS, Nutrien, the South Dakota Farmers Union, Proceed, and Farm Credit Services of Mandan. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Melissa Hammer.
The number of cattle and calves on feed was mostly unchanged from a year ago. In Friday's report, placements declined 2%, marketings rose 2%. In South Dakota, the inventory was up 5%, placements declined 4%, and marketings were up 9%. In Minnesota, the cattle inventory was up 5%, placements up 14%, marketings down 23% from a year ago.
And while the grain market had been range-bound, U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says the cattle market has been moving a bit higher.
You know, we're back moved up to summer highs is what we really did, back to July. So can we tack on the next move to the upside? Cattle on feed report, numbers tightening again going forward, placements down. Numbers just aren't there. It's the weights that are about 32 pounds over a year ago that puts more tonnage in the market. But consumer continues to eat the beef, at these prices, so that's going to be the key as numbers tighten.
And Rose says he has not seen any indication of herd rebuilding. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Water levels on the Mississippi River continue to remain low, putting pressure on commodity markets at a difficult time of the year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has the story.
For the third year in a row, drought conditions throughout the United States are affecting harvest transportation in the form of lower Mississippi River water levels. American Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhook is surprised at how dry things got after such a wet start to the growing season.
It comes at a bit of a surprise given the fact that we had a considerable amount of precipitation throughout much of the Midwest in the spring and into the early summer. And really, you know, we even had, you know, significant flooding in parts of the Midwest in late June, early July. But then once we started hitting middle of July, the spigots really got turned off. And we really have had a scarcity of precipitation for, you know, the last several months.
Lower waters mean less barge capacity.
You have to load less per barge. And then with less water in the system, you also have a more narrow shipping channel. So it's kind of analogous to going from a 6-lane highway down to 3 lanes. And indeed, it comes at a very inopportune time. And having one key element of your supply chain, in this case, barge transportation, impeded, it certainly is something that's most unwelcome.
Higher shipping costs, unfortunately, usually get passed on to farmers.
And what we see overwhelmingly within agriculture is those costs are passed on to the farmer, because if we try to pass that increased cost onto a customer, well, the customer will elect to purchase more soybeans from Brazil, for example. So you're limited in the ability to just pass those costs on to our customers. So what normally happens is those costs are passed on to the farmer in the form of a more negative basis or a wider basis. And so it's just one more thing that is encroaching on the profitability of the U.S. soybean farmer.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack sounding the alarm over the farm bill.
Time is of the essence. We need a farm bill now. We're quickly running out of time this fall for this Congress to come together to address the farm bill in a bipartisan way. Either we have a real bipartisan deal on this, on a new farm bill, or at a minimum, an extension of the existing farm bill.
The 2018 farm bill expired a year ago, but was extended until the end of last month. Most of the farm programs have funding through the end of the calendar year, but would be reverted to permanent law in January. That would send price supports back to parity levels from the 1938 and 1949 farm bills.
Yeah, frankly, the longer we wait, the harder it is to get this done.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has issued a directive to the California Air Resources Board to expedite a move towards E15. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score praised the Newsom support for 15% ethanol blends, saying it can lower fuel costs. POET Senior Vice President Joshua Shields said this policy also reinforces California's support for air quality and public health.
Beef has been ruled out as the source of McDonald's E. coli outbreak. Quarter pounders have been blamed for the health issue in 13 states. McDonald's still waiting for the test results on its onions. Taylor Farms, which supplied the onions from its Colorado location, said it has not found any traces of E. coli pathogens in its testing.
Corteva has introduced a new herbicide for wheat, durum, and barley. Tolvera features two modes of action and a new active ingredient to handle difficult weeds like kochia and water hemp.
The benefit behind this mix of a group 6 bromoxynil and a group 27 topiramate, you also pick up green and yellow foxtail control as well. So a broad spectrum control, getting your hard to control broadleaf and grass seed.
Product manager Drew Clark says Tolvera gives farmers additional flexibility.
Specifically in the Red River Valley, right? So Tolvera is going to give those cereal growers more flexibility in making planting decisions. Tolvera allows a crop rotation, a reduced crop rotation of 9 months back to most major crops, including lentils, peas, soybeans, potatoes, and canola. So, you know, again, that 9-month rotation, really giving growers that freedom to rotate to the crop that best improves their profit potential the following year.
Tolvera will be available for the 2025 growing season. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The American Land Board has been selected as a recipient of USDA's Climate Smart Commodities Grant that will help 150 sheep producers expand climate smart practices. Sustainability Director Carmen Meyerly says selected producers will receive a variety of benefits from the program.
The section that most of our producers would have an interest in is the producer side of the grant. We're enlisting sheep producers to, again, try to capture as much of the diversity that exists within our industry. So that's open to anybody that's a sheep producer. They'll be paired with a technical service provider and kind of assess what their operation is doing right now and what practices could they implement to improve those. And to implement those practices, the payout's right around $7,000 per participant.
And the program also provides technical assistance that Meyerly thinks can be as equally as valuable to the producers as the funding.
The money's great, certainly not as much as what some other grant programs may have, but where I think the value lies is in the technical service provider relationship and actually having somebody kind of come alongside and take a look at your operation and work through just areas of improvement along with how would you implement those. If the budget doesn't fit within what's being paid, kind of how can we make this happen in future years or other sources of funding that exist through USDA?
U.S. consumers are not eating enough vegetables, but the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee is advising Americans to eat fewer starchy vegetables. The National Potato Council said this conclusion is not supported by nutritional science and will only confuse consumers. Meanwhile, the National Pork Producers Council said the new dietary guidelines were a mixed bag. The NPPC praised the committee's recommendation to increase protein intake, but also said plant proteins cannot replace the animal proteins. Checking in on markets, we are 1 3/4 down for Minneapolis wheat, the December contract at 603.5. Chicago wheat, same contract, 1.5 higher in hard red winter wheat, a gain of 3/4. Dease corn down a penny, 414.25. The November soybeans down 6.25 at 981.5. Again, mostly lower prices in that overnight grain trade. On the farm calendar, University of Minnesota Extension and the Northwest Minnesota Foundation hosting a farm couple night out on Thursday, November 21st in Crookston. A chance to learn about communication, relationship building with other farm couples, a free meal. There's no cost to that program. Plenty of state meetings coming up in the month of November. Minnesota Farm Bureau annual meeting, November 21st through the 23rd. They're in a new location this year, Minnetonka. The 83rd Annual Minnesota Farmers Union Convention in Minneapolis, November 22nd through the 24th. South Dakota Farm Bureau Convention in Box Elder, South Dakota, November 22nd and 23rd, and NDFB, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, they're meeting in Bismarck on the 22nd and 23rd of November. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.